Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reading on grade level is the greatest educational advantage a child can have growing up. Here in Savannah, particularly in our inner city neighborhoods, that literacy rate is disturbingly low. Enter Savannah native Dream Smith, founder of Book Nations of Dreams, which launched in 2021 as a series of free libraries with the immediate goal of getting books into homes where kids could access them at any time. Now, Smith is growing that program, establishing partnerships across town, and she's today's guest on the Difference Makers podcast. From the digital team at SavannahNow.com, this is Difference Makers, a podcast featuring interviews with Savannah's community leaders about what they do, how they do it, and why. I'm Adam Van Brimmer, opinion editor and host of the Difference Makers and its sister podcast, The Commute. We recently relaunched Difference Makers after a several-month-long sabbatical from this podcast as we dealt with some management changes. We took the opportunity of that break to rethink the approach. Over the last couple of years, we've talked to dozens of Savannah's household name community leaders, mayors, business pioneers, education and health system heads, cultural icons. And as we looked to revive the podcast, we decided we needed a fresh approach. Every month, we'll focus on a specific theme and deliver two episodes, one with a high-profile difference maker and another with someone making a difference behind the scenes, such as today's guest, Dream Smith. This month, the topic is literacy. With that, here's the conversation with our latest difference maker, Dream Smith. Journalist Jessica Lee Libos conducted the interview.
Hello, Savannah Morning News listeners. My name is Jessica Lee Libos, and this is the Savannah Difference Makers podcast. And I am so excited to be sitting here with Dream Smith, who has founded an organization called Book Nation of Dreamers, and she is collecting books and distributing books in her West Savannah neighborhood where she grew up and taking literacy on exactly where things start, where with the children in her community. So here she is, because you're going to find out how awesome she is and what she's doing.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, guys, for having me. It's such a pleasure for having me. As Jessica was saying, I am the founder of Book Nation of Dreamers. We are a local 501c3 nonprofit based right out of Savannah, Georgia. I am a native here. And again, like she said, the community that I service is my community. West Savannah is a community that is so dear to me. I was born and raised for the most part in Savannah, and that's the area that I grew up in, and including my mom and my grandparents. That's a community that has always been an African-American community. It has always been one of the first communities, too, where it was a lot of Black ownership in that community. And if you go to that community, you can see how a lot of those homes and the structure of those homes, you can tell how they're built, mm-hmm. because it's one of the communities that are it's still the same.
And so when we say West Savannah, like, you know, this is on the other side of the Talmadge Bridge, where a lot of people, I mean, can live in Savannah their whole lives and not even go past that way and stop in there. But this is the neighborhood is the Fellwood neighborhood. It has always been called that?
Absolutely. It was Fellwood Homes. And when I say West Savannah, I mean Augusta Avenue, all the way down to, you got Hudson Hill, you have Woodsville, pretty much down to Bay Street right before you cross the tracks to get to Garden City.
And so these all historic African-American neighborhoods for generations and generations.
Absolutely, absolutely. You still have, when I was growing up, pretty much it was the neighborhood was just a great neighborhood. Every single person knew everybody, which means that you couldn't do anything. You could get disciplined.
Somebody was looking at you.
You could definitely be disciplined.
That's the village, yep.
You could definitely be disciplined, and it was true. We really did have a village, so we knew, like, it was certain things that we could and couldn't do. And also the respect was there, too, because those were the things that you know, our parents made sure they instilled in us.
And you were surrounded by grandparents and
aunties.
Yes,
nothing but elders was on that street too. And my grandmother was like the thrill lady. Anybody from the community knows
the thrill lady. Tell people what thrills are. I don't know if people know about
thrills. Well, thrills are like the little cups. They like the popsicles, but they come in like the Dixie cups with a little popsicle pop. And, you know, they come in different flavors. My grandmother had pineapple, strawberry mixed thrills. Yes, one of the best thrill ladies out of West Savannah.
The thrill ladies. That's a Savannah thing.
Yes, and she would bake too. She was a baker, so she would bake cakes and all those things and sew and do all those things. So she was really that all-American woman that I would say that.
So in the neighborhood, like the kids, you know, all the kids would know and they were sort of all looked after and everybody had an idea of who was there and people needed help. Is that different now in the neighborhood? Is that, are kids growing up differently?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's the number one thing that we've lost is the village, is the entire village. One, the disconnection is the family unit is no longer the family unit. You know, back then, most families lived in the same city, in the same area, whereas now people live abroad. And so therefore, a lot of times you don't have that close family knit like you do, which often that is what sustained and built the community, the closer the families were. But now it's such a disconnection, you know. And so I feel like that does play a huge part on why our children and everything is the way it is.
Well, so getting back to literacy, I mean, do you feel like that contributes to the literacy rates for children? You know, the statistics that you know are significantly lower in the West Savannah neighborhood.
Correct. And you'll find this around pretty much a lot, most inner city and poor communities. Honestly, you're going to find that unfortunately it's always going to be a low literacy rate, which oftentimes, which is going to equal a high crime rate, you know?
Well,
and
yeah,
so it's like a domino effect, which is why we do what we do. I know for me, when I was growing up, my grandmother made us read. And it wasn't a chore either, you know? And I feel like, too, the way that we present reading and things to our children, and oftentimes parents do it, you make it like a chore, punishment or something for children, which is why they hate it. And oftentimes they're forced to read material that they have no interest in or something that they can't relate to either. So it's the way that you introduce it. Also, in addition, reading has to be introduced when they are babies, and it has to be encouraged in the home. You cannot wait till they of school age and then expect all of a sudden when they go to school, hey, especially when they go to school, that's all they're making them do.
Right.
It's just read, and have the material.
So books in the home from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely.
How are you addressing this issue?
Well, how we address this issue for certain, we have the pull-up book drives is what we call it. We call it a pull-up book drive. We come right there to the community, to the park in Fellwood, and we just set up shop. We set up our booth. We set up our books, our bags of books that have our logo on it. Normally, we have each bag have at least about five different books. Just pretty much different books from fiction to nonfiction. Some maybe tool books, puzzles, crossword puzzles, anything to kind of stimulate the mind. In addition, we always have our snacks, something, because you know you got to bring the people in.
Right.
At the same time and make it a little fun. And now we've added a reading in the park to it. So now what we do is, in addition to just distributing the bags and getting the resources and information, we've actually added to where they can come, sit in the park, and have guest readers read to them. And of course, they're always open to read to us.
Pardon the interruption here. It's Adam Van Brimmer again. I interrupt this Difference Maker interview with Book Nation of Dreamers Dream Smith to tell you about the Difference Makers presenting sponsor and a real difference maker in our community, the Savannah Economic Development Authority. Savannah's economy is booming, and greasing the wheels of the economic engine are the folks at CETA. CETA is committed to creating, growing, and attracting jobs and investment in the Savannah region. Learn more about the Savannah Economic Development Authority and what they do in the Savannah community by visiting CETA.org. Now, back to the discussion with Dream Smith.
So this is Sunday, March 27th, that you're having this first book drive in Fellwood Park.
Absolutely.
What are the hours?
It's going to be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
11 to 2 yes. in Fellwood Park, March 27th on Absolutely. A Sunday.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Please come out. Please yeah. come out. This is going to be a great time. Like I said, it's going to be our first book drive for the year. In addition, we're going to have so many other resources too. In addition, I have a few different other organizations coming out just to give out some information. We also have some guest readers that's coming. I'm so excited. One of them is Miss Sandy Loam. She's an artist, amazing artist. She has a gallery right there in City Market, and so she's going to be out. She's also an author in addition, so yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
So reading stories and hanging
Absolutely.
Out
and reading and getting the resources that you need. And also, of course, we're going to also have a way where the community, because I'm excited that we also have our summer programs coming up.
So you have a partnership with the Moses Jackson Center, the community center that's right there next to, so there had there not been a reading program there before?
Yes, I'm sure it's been like several different programs to the community. However, I know oftentimes what I've been told too, the pandemic was one of the things too that was put a dent in a lot of things, because mm-hmm. it closed down the center for a while. In addition to, you know, it's been a lot of people who've come through the community who have had programs, but I think just it's kind of hard just being consistency, especially mm-hmm. if you don't have the proper funding mm-hmm. and resources.
Right.
And so, like, even with me, you know, most of the things, the funding that we get comes from us fundraising.
Right.
You know, it's kind of hard when you're starting off as a small nonprofit
sure.
and you're not already established like some of those bigger names.
So let's, yeah. So what is your, you know, in terms of funding, I mean, you don't work out of an office. Is it just you? Do you have a team? Are they all volunteers? And how are you, you know, like how can the larger Savannah community support Book Nation of Dreamers?
Oh, absolutely. We have a team. I do have a board, mm-hmm. an amazing team. My board is always out there, very resourceful, mm-hmm. Networking in addition. I do a lot of networking mm-hmm. in addition, you know, again, because it's no such thing as one of the things I tell people, you definitely need a team.
Mm-hmm.
The more resources you have, the better and more impactful that you can be. How people can help us, we're always taking up book donations.
Mm-hmm.
We have several of our Linden, our free libraries that's located around the city. If you go on our website, you can always check those out. You can always donate there. Also, you can donate at the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gym and drop off books, or you can give me a call. You know, we have a P.O. box. You can always send it to our P.O. box.
Great.
It's located on our website in
so
addition.
BookNationOfDreamers.com or .org?
Yep, booknationofdreamers.com.
Okay.
And on there, it also has, like I said, our email address. Oftentimes, people will email me mm-hmm. and say, hey, I have some books.
You have a great, your Insta game is quite on fire as well. Your Instagram.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very
thank
good.
You, thank
so,
you, thank
social
you,
media
you.
Is a great way. That's, I think, how we first got in touch anyway. So,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we have multiple ways that if you have books, anything. Mm-hmm. Also, in addition, we're always looking for monetary funding and volunteers. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. monetary funding is always great because that allows us to do the programs mm-hmm. and be able to give them the right resources
sure.
that we need. Definitely. And like I said, volunteers is always most important. The most valuable thing that you can give to anyone is your time.
Mm-hmm.
Is yes. your time, especially when you're giving your time to a child and a stranger, because in that moment, in that time, just that one thing that they can get from you, guess what? That's something that they can carry, you know, that's long term.
Mm-hmm.
That's something they'll carry with them forever. You know, and that has happened to me. That has happened to me. That is why I have been able to, you know, just do great,
mm-hmm.
you know, and elevate, you know, do a little bit better.
We were talking about that before, and we're talking a little bit about just how important literacy is to mm-hmm. a particular community, I mean, to everybody, and how, you know, this is the way to help. This is the way we're talking about these connections, so that, you know, the children that are becoming more literate because they have books in the home, because and there's little free libraries all around town.
Correct.
And some of them, you know, you're particular in the West Savannah neighborhood. So there's, you know, and building more and more of these, you know, being able to come back and forth and get different books.
Absolutely.
Those kids are going to be in middle school in a heartbeat, you
Absolutely.
Know, and then they'll be, you know, we were talking about DEEP, and, you know, that is such a great program in that it's, you know, it's educating kids and around reading and writing and self-expression and validation. And we're just talking about possibilities. I mean, you know, a lot of the kids that you're serving, you know, don't grow up in situations that I think a lot of people can identify with. They don't realize like how, you know, having no books in the home and having, you know, sometimes not even enough to eat. And these are our neighbors. These are people who live
Correct.
Right there, you know.
Correct.
And I think that people, you know, I think people want to help, but they don't really understand.
Correct.
You know, so making those connections, and, you know, I know that you have a vision that reaches far further into the future. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, here's the thing that I tell people. When I hear people talk about the future, I tell people, honestly, if we really, really want a future, that means it's very imperative to help these children,
mm-hmm. yeah.
especially if it's been 4 and 5 of the same generations, because we see the economy and how the future has turned out with us doing the same thing over and over, and it's not getting any better. And the thing is, most of us are getting older. And so if we're not teaching these children, who's going to be able to run this world, run mm-hmm. this country?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing. And in addition, I just want to be able to break that bridge and that barrier too. Like you mentioned before in the beginning, you have a lot of people that's from this city, born and raised in this city. And the only time that you come through that community is passing through Bay Street if you're on your way to the airport,
mm-hmm.
you know, or going into another area, you know. And oftentimes the people that's from that community, especially your older ones, they oftentimes don't leave that community and don't feel, you know, compelled to go outside of their community either. Now, for the elders, I get it. You know, a lot of them, you know, back then Savannah was a different thing. It was a different time. And so for a lot of our elders, they still have that same, you know, feeling towards that, you know, where they felt unwelcome. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of those things trickle down to the children mm-hmm. too,
right.
you know, oftentimes.
Right.
You know, it goes vice versa. You know, a lot of the negative, whether it's coming from any generation, any group of people, if that's what your family of generations have endured, that stuff can't help but trickle down to
mm-hmm.
you.
Sure. So,
and so, you know, it's just such a division. It's such a division. And you do often hear the youth say how they don't feel comfortable stepping outside of their community.
Right.
And that's because you've again, things mm-hmm. that you trickle down and you've heard, or things that you may have even experienced, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way that we do that is we have to be able to come inside that community and mm-hmm. vice versa, be able to okay, give the kids that opportunity to be the exposure and the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said with DEEP, definitely I think they have a lot of great things going on, and that's the overall goal. The overall goal for Book Nation 2 is to be able to make those connections with other organizations, because mm-hmm. we're all doing a lot of great work here, you know, and we're all tackling pretty much the same thing but at different angles.
Right.
And the more resourceful that we all can be and network and come together, the more impactful that we'll be throughout the communities that need us, you know.
So in other words, you're kind of looking to recreate that network that just sort of happened organically when you were a kid, you know, that everybody knew each other and everybody helped in their small way. Your grandma was the thrill lady and some other lady was, you know,
absolutely.
And everybody kind of watched this pack of children and raised them, you know, at least had their eyes on them.
Yeah, you have to. You know? You have to be a village, man. You have to be a village. And like I said, we're just so disconnected from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that village started since the beginning of time. Like, that wasn't just a made up thing. The village started from beginning time, and it was the reason.
Human beings can't exist without it.
Yeah.
Like, we can't manage without each other.
Exactly.
You know?
And so it's like we have gotten so disconnected and far from that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And don't get me wrong, I feel like it's so many great people where we all are working toward to push toward that, and things are being done, but it's so much more that so many people can do. The best thing I feel like the community as an individual you can do is start with you. You know, start with you. I tell people, whenever you're around children, it is our duty as an adult, you automatically are a teacher. Mm. Even if you don't want to be.
Wait, I want you to say that again, because that's a really important point.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
So say it again. So when you are around children.
When you are around children, and I tell people often, seriously, if you are an adult and when you are around children, you are automatically an educator.
Yeah.
That's it.
Whether you like it or not.
Like,
so you better.
Hands down, you're the educator.
Correct.
Like, yes. You know. So it is our job as an adult.
Wow.
As an adult to teach and come correct.
It's very deep.
And so, but it's true. It's facts, because that is why we have our kids. You see kids who's so angry, who's passive aggressive, mm-hmm. you know, who language is a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you best believe it is because of their surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's your surroundings. You know, kids learn from us. Mm-hmm. And so again, when it comes down to reading, children who are readers and are great and excel in reading, mm-hmm. that's because they see their parents reading at home. Mm-hmm. That's the first sign. Definitely having books in the home. And people don't know often just how like tremendous that helps with your children's vocabulary, with your children's social skills, and just with your children overall learning. It's been proven that just by having 20 or more books in the home during early childhood development, your child is more prone to do at least 2 years of college or self-teach themselves a skill. Mm-hmm. And like I tell people, most of your favorite people, most successful people are extremely successful and they are self-taught. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of them did get the education behind them, but most of them, whether they went to college, either, you know, they didn't finish or either they didn't even get that far. But because they had the foundation and was able to read, and people say, yeah, well, you have the internet, you have YouTube, you have all those things. Yeah, you absolutely do. But if you don't understand it. Because you can have pictures all day. You can have the computer read for you all day. But if you can't comprehend. Yeah. And if you can't comprehend and understand what you're reading, then you're going to be in a messed up situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be taken advantage of often. You know, and I tell my talented people, whether you're a musician, whether you're an athlete, oftentimes your favorite, I tell my children, oftentimes your favorite athlete, your favorite musician, entertainer, they've sold millions of records, they've broken records, and financially they don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And they've made millions and they've ran through it. And most of them, the reason why is because
agents and managers, and they signed things that they didn't, you know.
Can't either. You can read it, but you couldn't comprehend it. Mm-hmm. Or either you can't read it, mm-hmm. and you trust people to do it for you. And honestly, you know, we live in a world of great people, but we also live in a world of not so great people, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
So.
Hey, it's Adam one more time. Again, you are listening to a conversation with Book Nation of Dreamers Dream Smith on the Difference Makers podcast. While she and Jessica Libos take a short break, I have a call to action for you. Subscribe to SavannahNow.com. Our website is the best place to keep up with community news, sports, and yes, opinion makers. And right now you can get 6 months access for $6. I'm not a mathematician, but that works out to $1 a month. I didn't even have to use my smartphone calculator on that one. It's a pretty good deal. Anyway, go to SavannahNow.com or download our app and see our product for yourself. Then hit the subscribe button to get full access. Now, back to the Difference Makers interview.
So, Sunday, March 27th, Fellwood Park, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Correct.
You're inviting everybody out there, the whole community, the whole community of Savannah.
Definitely. Please come out. Definitely. If you have some books, this will be the perfect time. Mm-hmm. If you have some books that you want to give away, mm-hmm. this will be the perfect time to come out. You can distribute some books in addition. You can also be a part of community just to see exactly what we do. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a guest reader, because like I said, that's we cool. always offer guest readers. We're going to have a couple out there. So if you just want to be able to read to your children, children and to the children in the community to just encourage them, you know, because they need that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, kids are very impressionable. And if they see us doing it and we're excited about doing it, mm-hmm. they're going to want to do it too, you know. And the great thing about it, like I said, I love to see the youth. Oftentimes I see a lot of the teenage kids out there, and because they are the ones who the younger generation is looking up to.
Right.
And so when we can pull those guys in, that is what makes the event even more successful, because then I'm getting all generations of them coming out there. In addition, I'm bringing their parents to come out, mm-hmm. because right now, oftentimes, the adults do learn from the children.
Sure.
You know, and when the adults see that the children are excited and want to participate and are engaged, that often makes them want to be engaged.
Right.
You know, so definitely come out if you're able. I definitely want to tell everybody who's out in the community, in the West Savannah community, Woodsville, Hudson Hill, Augusta Avenue, definitely come out right there in Fairwood Park. Most of you have already been there before. We've had several book drives before. This one is going to be kind of the same thing, but we have so many other resources. We have Over the Moon organization who's going to be out there giving out some resources.
What does the Over the Moon do?
Oh, Over the Moon is so great. Oh my God, they are so helpful. What they do is they give out diapers. They are like a diaper bank.
Awesome.
So they give out diapers. And yes, if you're listening to me, definitely that's a definitely an awesome nonprofit here. So they definitely give out diapers, feminine products, things like that.
So, supportive. I mean, you know, again, all of these things sort of add up. Like, it's, you know, it's hard to read to your child if you're worried about having enough diapers, and
absolutely.
You know, and you're like, as a woman taking care, you know, like all of these things.
Let alone buy
other.
A book for your kid,
yeah.
which is why. I mean, we make sure they have books in the home. Mm-hmm. And like I said, a lot of people, you know, it, as easy as it's said and done, it's not that easy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the thing about us with our free libraries, I know like a lot of people now, it was big for us to have a library card and go to the library. A lot of people don't have library cards and go to the library. And that's a worry because the fees and all that stuff,
right.
too.
Is there a library on that side of town? I don't think.
The closest library on that side is in Garden City.
Okay.
So it is one. However, again, if it seems like it's a little too far out the way,
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to go, you know?
Yeah.
So we want to make sure it's something that the kids can ride their bikes to
mm-hmm.
or walk to. They don't have to even have their parents take them.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, I get excited about little free libraries.
I
always look at a little free library, and I, you know, I've definitely put stuff in there just all over town. I keep a box of books in the back of my car.
And they have some great things in it mm-hmm. too, guys.
Some
of our
libraries,
I was going to say, some of the our free libraries have some nice little pop-up treasures in addition to books.
Mm-hmm.
We oftentimes put more than just books in there. You never know. You may come across a gift card or something.
Ooh, wow.
You know,
cool.
So you definitely want to check out our libraries. And our libraries are located throughout West Savannah. We have one in Fairwood Park, one in the Woodsville community. We also have one on Augusta Avenue. We also have one off of Waters, in addition. And we also have one on the east side. I believe that's off of Forrester Street. So we just got kind of, we also have one off of Siler Street. So we have a few of them just throughout the city. And I'm just so glad that not only us, because you see them everywhere, because other people that's putting them out, you know. And our overall goal for Book Nation is because last year we were so grateful, we have had a partnership with the fire department, and they were so gracious and built us a few of them, and that's how we were able to distribute the first ones that we did build. And so this time we have some other retired woodsmen that's going to be working on some this year, so we can put them out.
It's going to continue, just, you know, creating.
Oh, absolutely. Our overall goal is to put one in every other block, so that way children and families can always have access to books.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll definitely put some out there for sure. And with our libraries, it gives us a chance for a lot of our local artists to display their work, you know.
Very nice.
So
because the because I think Rob Hessler covered that in his column, that there were a lot of local artists
absolutely.
Have taken charge of each one, you know, each of the boxes.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
Made so them beautiful.
Absolutely. So that's what we do with that. We just add a little oomph to it.
Yeah.
You know, plus, again, it takes community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to get the community involved. And what better way to art and music?
Yeah.
You know, and if you have the people right there in the community who was just as brilliant, why not include them? You know, so yeah, it's something we've been able to do too.
Well, I'm really impressed with the work that you're doing, and I really feel like that you're committed to,
really,
you know,
to this
vision. And it's just interesting because I just I'm excited to hear about how now that the Moses Jackson Center is open, that you now that you have like a centralizing, as it gets hotter, of course, in the summer, like
absolutely.
Kids aren't going to be outside. It's just too hot.
Correct.
So having a place for everybody to go and know that there are going to be books there and that they can, you know, they can read. And
absolutely. Yeah. Books, lots of great programs.
Mm-hmm.
Our programs are, like I said, is going to be pretty much geared toward not just reading, but overall teaching our children just the different skills that they need.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, the way that you really, if you want to uplift people out of poverty, you have to be able to teach people so they can teach themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gifts are great. It's always good to help someone if you can, but at some point in time, you got to be able to teach someone.
Mm-hmm.
And give it to them for free. You know, we live in a world right now where knowledge is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is.
Yeah.
And it is expensive to get some knowledge. However, everybody don't have the resources
mm-hmm.
and financial means to go off to get certain, you know,
yeah.
certain things, which is why, again, books are always great, too, because if you can read, you can research. You can find a way to get what you need, you know. But just being able just to create these workshops and programs, I am so, so, so excited. Like I said, our go-to is to build those networks, build
mm-hmm.
those relationships with other organizations, other people in the community, educators who are really working with the children,
yeah.
who are really making a difference. Because the key to it is you have to find the right people. And there's so many great teachers. I think every teacher who's out there on the line trying their best to educate our kids,
yeah.
And so many professionals out there who try their best in addition. However, I think the number one thing is you can be great in your profession because that's what you went to school for, but you have to be great at relaying your profession to the children. And that's a huge disconnect too. You know, if children are not excited about learning and don't feel like you really care for them
yeah.
to learn, and if you're not making it fun and, you know, enthused and excited about
exactly.
it, they're not going to be excited about it too.
Right.
And that's another thing that I remember in school. I love going to school, especially elementary and middle school. It was like the best years
of my
life.
I know, it was like
life.
Fun projects.
That was the
like,
best
you know,
year. You had group projects.
Story time.
That was the best time, reading time.
Yeah.
And so for kids not to even like, so it's just a whole different time.
So changing the tune of it and hope, you know, wanting to make it, you know, something special and something that like everybody can be a part of, you know,
correct.
And it's accessible to everybody.
And you know yeah. what? Honestly, that is the reason. Honestly, that's why you're supposed to have reading time. And
right.
that's why you start it when they're young.
Right.
And that's why they structure it specifically the way they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone quiet. Everyone sits together in a circle in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And often if they're the great reader, they're going to introduce them with some puppets or something
mm-hmm.
that gears toward the book. And in addition, they're going to ask open-ended questions throughout and get them excited
mm-hmm.
about reading. And if you create that space for them and you also do that space at home, then they're going to love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you got to let them mix it up, especially as an educator. If they're reading all day, you know, things that you like, oh, just reading, you might want to do some hands-on things
mm-hmm.
to make the reading more interesting. And that is the reason for our programs.
Right.
You know, that's the number one reason for our summer programs and workshops is to really.
You've got culinary arts.
Yes.
You've got sewing.
Yes, we're going to have culinary
yeah.
arts. We're going to do agriculture. We're going to do music. And with music, I'm so, so excited about music. With music, oftentimes our children always want to be the artist. They want to be the front stream, the rapper. However, and part of that is because they don't have a clue about what goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They don't know about the producer, the studio engineer, the sound engineer, the mm-hmm. lighting engineer, and any of these things.
So and just exposing to so many
absolutely, possibilities. Absolutely. You know? So that's our goal for our summer program. We're going to actually have the kids build out a studio. Okay. Absolutely. They're going to build out a studio, have some amazing sound engineers, studio engineers who work with children and who went to school for this. This is their profession. In addition, I tell people, help is help, especially when it's genuine help. However, it is so imperative for these children, especially the ones who work in the inner city communities, to see the image of themselves. Mm-hmm. So sure. They have to see different people that look like them in all these different professions. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the disconnection with the Black community is when you do have so many great professionals in the community who are from these communities, oftentimes they leave the communities. Mm-hmm. So the children don't get to see all these professionals that look like them,
right?
Because they move outside of the community. And so what they're left to see is what they're normally left to see on a daily day basis.
Right.
And oftentimes what they equate success of the image of a professional does not look like them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing I'm including, is like so many people, and especially for our young men, to see so many men that's doing the things that they like that look like them too. Mm-hmm. Because also they have a way that success looks. Like you can have locks in your hair, natural hair. Mm-hmm. You can't have on jewelry the way I look, you know, but you can look regular and still be successful, you know. You can wear your tennis shoes and just be laid back,
yeah,
and be a professional. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a suit and tie to be,
yeah,
a professional.
True.
And that's the beauty of the difference now.
Mm-hmm.
Too. And just letting those kids understand that, again, if you love to cook, you can be a chef. And he can make a ton of money. I have a brother who's a chef,
yeah,
now in Nantucket and loves it.
Yeah.
And he's making great money doing it.
So just, yeah, I mean, that's the first step to introducing all these possibilities. So
absolutely
amazing. Well, I can't wait to see, you know, how much more and see you connect with all of these other, you know, these organizations and really just like serving your people. I can't wait to hear some of these success stories.
Oh, yeah, and I'm so excited.
Everybody, Sunday, March 27th.
Yes, from 11
Nation
to
of
2.
Dreamers.
Yes, 11
Bellwood
to 2 p.m.
Park.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody. And again, please, if you want to donate any type of books, any type of monetary donations, you can always go on our website, booknationofdreamers.com. If you want to volunteer, you can always go on the website, too, in addition, and sign up for our volunteer page. We are always looking for volunteers in addition. Like I said, the most valuable thing you can give to a person, especially a child, is your time. And especially if you have the resources, and if you can teach them something that will be sustaining and long term, you know, and a gateway for them to have endless possibilities. We definitely invite you. We welcome you. Again, it takes a community. It takes a village to raise our children. I encourage the parents, every parent, if you're in a community, if you're able to, please come out. Once we have our program is going to start June the 5th to July 15th. So you want to get your membership. If you're interested in this, you want to get your membership first at the Moses Jackson Advancement Center. And as soon, I think they'll post it by May, where you can start have open enrollment for the summer programs. It's going to fill up quick for certain, because we can only take about 20 children from age group 10 to 17. So you definitely want to come out. Definitely come out. It's going to be a fun time. A lot of resources. We're definitely going to invite the parents because we got to work together. So again, thank you so much.
Yay. All right.
That's all for this episode of Difference Makers. Thanks to Book Nations of Dreamers' Dream Smith for being our latest Difference Maker. Thanks also to our presenting sponsor, the Savannah Economic Development Authority. Tap into the Difference Makers archives anytime on your favorite podcast app to hear interviews with more of Savannah's community leaders, such as the Emmaus House's Ariana Bergsteiner, Savannah State University President Kimberly Bauer Washington. Saw her in the St. Patrick's Day Parade last week. Saw all those Savannah State players with their conference championship basketball hats on. That was pretty cool. And also Savannah Police Chief Roy Minter, who he was in the parade too. Anyway, Difference Makers is a production of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. On behalf of myself and producer Zach Dennis, Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.